So not too long ago, I had a conversation with somebody. And you know, I say I had a conversation with somebody. It's amazing how these things kind of work. I actually had a conversation with a few people. And the conversations kind of came together as one conversation in my mind. Not that I got confused. I'm just saying the material, the topics all seemed to be the same of these two or three conversations that I had. And the thought came through for many of them that happiness was something not to be had in this life, or that but it was going to be something that we would get after this life. When we're before the throne, that's when we'll be happy. They believed that this life was meant not necessarily to be a happy time, but that it prepared us for a time that we would be happy. Being happy was something to look forward to, not something for the here and now. And I can see how some people think that way. There's so much in the world that seems to lead us to unhappiness or lead us to suffering. And there's so many of us who have had experiences in our youth that seem to set the table for our lives that indicate that we're just not created to have joy and happiness in this life. Now, they know that Adonai is a God of promise, and that the promise is that when we're eternally in his presence, there'll be joy and happiness, and it'll just overwhelm us. I believe that to be true, but that does not mean that Adonai created us to suffer through this life just to limp into heaven. In fact, by looking at the scriptures, I know that's not true. There are times in our lives that seem to push us into times of unhappiness, but they're not from Adonai. They're either due to unfortunate circumstances that have happened, or they're from Satan, our enemy, in order to keep us from the fullness of his love. Now, before I get into the scriptures to look at what happiness is, let's look at a definition of what happiness is so that we're all on the same page. The Oxford English Dictionary defines happiness as, or happy, as a feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Now, they also say that it's having a sense of confidence in or satisfaction with a person, arrangement, or situation, or being satisfied with the quality or standard of something. But the personal definition that you have for being happy may be different than the next person, because it seems to be a lot about feelings. So everyone has a different feeling about what makes them happy. That's what makes it a personal thing. According to the world's definition, at least, it's how I feel that's going to mean whether I'm happy or not. C.S. Lewis said about happiness this, quote, "God cannot give us happiness. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it's not there. There is no such thing," unquote. And I agree. Adonai has to be a part of our definition of happiness. There is no happiness apart from him. I saw another quote from an author named David Ansberger. And he said, quote, "Happiness is living by inner purpose, not by outer pressures. Happiness is happening with God," unquote. We see, as I get into a bit of scripture, we're going to see that we're not to depend on our situation or what we can get from the world, but what we do get from Adonai to make us happy. That should be our definition of happiness. The hard part about happiness is the separating of the temporary feelings we get from the world from the permanent joy that we get from Adonai. In fact, that was the desire of Yeshua, to give each of us a joy or happiness in this life and not wait for it to come. He said in John 15, and I got to turn on my little clicker here. He said in John 15, starting in verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Yeshua says that he has joy or happiness, and he wants us to have it too. He didn't offer this happiness as a promise to come. That was not his words, but he said that his desire was that we have it now. He wants his joy to be our joy. That must mean that regardless of what's happening to us here and now in this life, the life that we're living, he has given us joy. Not the joy that the world offers, but the joy that Adonai offers. Just as salvation's a gift that has to be accepted, so is the joy that he offers. He can't force it upon you, but he holds it out for you to take it from him. Yeshua has the joy deep in his heart. Right? It's kind of, you know that song, I have the joy deep in my heart. Down in my heart. That's right. You okay? Okay, stop singing. We know that song, but we don't think of Yeshua as being joyful all the time, do we? In fact, when we look at Isaiah for a description of the Messiah, he looks quite different. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Adonai revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, nor beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We just read that the prophesied Messiah would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So how could this be? How could the same one who is sorrowful and grief-stricken also be joyful and happy? It's the source of the happiness that we must look at. He was not allowing his feelings to dictate his happiness. There are many here who I believe know this lesson already, or at least appear to know it. I know that they struggle in different ways, but I know they're happy in this life through Messiah. They have the words of scriptures within them. Here are two short but powerful verses about being happy. Proverbs 16:20. One prudent in the manner will find good. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai. That's what happiness is. Happy are such a people. Blessed are the people whose God is Adonai. Scripture guides us to true happiness through knowing the promise of God's words and knowing him. The same Hebrew word for blessed used in Proverbs 16 is used in Psalm 144 for both happy and blessed. It's a share, which is, of course, means happy, which means blessed. The happiness that we gain from knowing Adonai in the Word, and yes, doing the Word, is not a happiness that we have to wait for until the end time. Not before we get to the throne. It's a happiness we're supposed to have now. But it's also not a happiness that's dependent on the good or bad that has occurred to us either in the distant past or the recent history that we've had. Instead, as we read earlier from the author David Ansberger, it's a happening with God. The current and past God, who was and is. He was and is what? He was and is with us through every situation. He's with us as we go through the world. Look what King David said in Psalm 16. You make known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in your presence. Eternal pleasures are at your right hand. David finds life and joy and happiness in the words and being in the presence of Adonai. This is a confirmation that both good and bad will happen to us in this life. And I think we all know that already. When we go through hard times in this life, a verse from Romans comes to mind for many of us. Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us. Yes, there will be times of trouble. But this does not mean we must suffer now. But when we do, we know better things are to come. Adonai does not want us to suffer, but does want us to know that greater things are to come. This doesn't mean that we can't have great things now and even greater things to come. They're both true. Great things now and later because we know him and live by following his instructions, the Torah. Scripture encourages us to remove our eyes from the world and place them rightly on him and his words. First, let's look at Psalm 19, which says to live by his instructions for happiness and joy. Psalm 19:9, the precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvot of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. Remove your eyes from the world so that you can look rightly on him and his instructions. There are many who have a hard time controlling what they see. They see the world being victorious. They see the world looking like it's being prosperous. And what happens? Of course, they want to be like them. They want to be victorious. They want to be the prosperous that they think they're seeing. There are instructions about this. Who would think? There are instructions about this in Psalm 37. Now, Psalm 37 may be one of my very favorite psalms because it reminds us what's out there and how to look at what's out there and how we should be. So Psalm 37, 1 through 4 says this. It's a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of them who do wrong. For like the grass, they soon wither and fade like a green herb. Trust in Adonai and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on faithfulness. Delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you the request of your heart. Yes, we've used this verse, these verses before, about he will give you. But let's focus on the delight part today. It says, make yourself happy in the Lord. Now, this isn't to say force yourself to be happy. But stop comparing yourself to people you really don't want to be like or act like. They're outside the instructions of Adonai. So why should we want to be like them? They're not following Torah. They're not going to have eternal joys. So why would we want to be like them? It doesn't mean that we can't have our own joys and happiness in this life. We just shouldn't have to be like them to do that. And if you don't think the instructions of Adonai, was my time up, right? Oh, sorry. They're outside the instructions. If you don't think the instructions of Adonai will make you happy, then perhaps you've allowed yourself to become outside the instructions of Adonai. I'm not saying that you're outside on purpose. But many have wandered off the path because they've allowed their eyes to lust after what others have. Others have health. Others have money. Others have a relationship I want. Others have a car that I want. Others have a house that I want. Others seem to have a relationship even with God that I want. They've allowed their eyes to lust after what they have, which Adonai has said, not now, at least not now. The only one he doesn't say not now is that relationship with him. Everything else, you aren't supposed to have yet if you don't have it. Not yet. Maybe you'll never have it, but that's in his hands. That's in Adonai's hands. And are you really going to tell him that he's mistaken? Or perhaps Satan has pushed you off the path. But that's really not an excuse. Your eyes should still be on Adonai. Don't use it as an excuse. Satan made me do it. The devil made me do it. You're all too young for that. Flip Wilson, right? The start of Psalms actually is the instructions of how to be happy. In fact, it starts with the word happy. Again, that same word, asher. Psalm 1, starting in verse 1. Happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Torah of Adonai, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted over streams of water, producing fruit during its season. Its leaves never droops, but in all he does, he succeeds. The world wants to tell you how to be happy. They say, look at us and do what we're doing. Then you'll be happy. Psalm 1 tells us something very different right away. It says, don't look at them. Don't listen to them. They're not happy, and they cannot make you happy. The point of it all is that when we are in his presence, we get to receive all of him. He's concerned with our righteousness that he supplies. He's concerned with our obedience to his instructions, which we supply. He's also concerned with our everything that we are. And so is Satan. Listen to how both Adonai and Satan are looking to influence and affect your life and your happiness. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Adonai wants for you life and life abundantly. You don't get just one or two things from Adonai, but you get all of him. And you get it in abundance. This includes his joy and his happiness. The problem for some of us is that we don't see it because we've allowed Satan to stand between us and Adonai. We get a false view of what's truly in front of us. Yes, Adonai's there, but Satan wants to be right there in between us so that we can't see him. Or we think we have to go around Satan, and all of a sudden we're off the path, and Satan just keeps pushing us. The purpose of Satan is to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But what is he trying to steal, slaughter, and destroy? Your life and your happiness. By drawing you away from fellowship with the congregation, by drawing you away from fellowship with Adonai, and the instructions that he gives in his scripture. Want to know how to be happy and joyful? Psalm 119 tells us this. Blessed are those whose ways is blameless, whose walk in the Torah of Adonai. Happy are those who help who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart, who also do no injustice, but walk his ways. I don't think that it's a coincidence that this very long psalm starts off with how to be happy. Blessed is again the same word, asher. The concern of Adonai is that people be happy, both now and forever. And what does he have to do for you? Isaiah 55 starts off with, ho. It's sort of like, yo, listen to me. Isaiah 55:1. Starting there. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Delight yourself in abundance, meaning that there is so much for you. But look what it says, what to do with that abundance. It says to delight yourself. Allow yourself to be happy and satisfied. There is an abundance within. And you do not need to go out into the world looking and searching for what the world cannot provide. There are two ways to delight yourself. First is to partake in what he gives you. To eat, satisfying yourself in him. The second way to find your happiness is in feeding his kingdom, and not just feeding yourself. What does that mean? Putting others before yourself, helping them, doing Adonai's will, being his hands and feet, being his mouth to speak his words to a lost and dying world, being the encouragement to other believers. The best way to pick yourself up is to pick someone else up. Speak life. We are where we are because Adonai wants us here. will advance because he wants us to advance as we line up with him. We will fall back only because we've allowed Satan a place in our lives. Adonai does not push us. Only Satan pushes us away from him. And finally, if you need one more bit to convince you that Adonai wants you to be happy right now, right here, regardless of what's going on around you, look how Shaul prayed to the believers in Rome. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and shalom by trusting, so you may overflow with hope in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, we just finished a few weeks of looking at prayer and saying that if we line up with Adonai, we know our prayers are going to be answered. Well, I fully believe that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was lined up with God. I believe the things he prayed in. I believe it was included in Scripture because it's true. The God of hope wants all to be filled with joy, all to be filled with happiness, all to be filled with shalom, regardless of what's going on about us. It was true for the Romans at the time that Rav Shaul wrote it. It was true for those who read the Psalms when David wrote and sang them. It's true for us today. Adonai has created his people not to suffer, but to be happy, to be joyful in him. Doesn't matter what the circumstances around us are. We can have icky circumstances and still be joyful and happy. How? We separate our feelings of that ickiness with our feelings of the joy that Adonai, the Ruach HaKodesh, has put into us. The ickiness was there to draw our eyes away. The joy of Adonai was also there to draw our eyes. But where? Up to him. Up to him. If you're moaning because something is hurting, and we will moan when something hurts, it's difficult to separate the feeling. I acknowledge it's difficult to separate the physical feeling that hurts with the joy that he's put in our hearts. But that's where our focus needs to be. If you're going through a financial time, it's difficult, I acknowledge, to separate the pain that the financial stresses and strains in our life can bring with the joy. Because the world wants to say the money is going to bring you the joy. But I would say the joy of the Lord and walking in his word will eventually bring release in your life, release in your physical life and your health, release in your financial life and your money, release in your spiritual life and your relationships with others. When? I don't know. He knows, and he has a perfect time. When? Maybe right at my last breath, which, you know what? It's okay, because it's his timing. Father, we thank you that you're